This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Oh, hey. Glad to have you. Episode 444 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. This one's primarily about Doug and things Doug does and things that Doug likes. Women.
It's going to be a great one.
Turkeys.
Love them all.
Last second deer that everybody forgets about.
Yeah.
Long walks in the
no
beach.
One cares about.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Thank you for being here at the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We appreciate you. I want to take a quick second without getting into things and making myself sad. That's going to happen later. But I appreciate everybody like reaching out and messaging me and basically just being there for me in a pretty difficult time in my life. So I kind of just want to move past that, not to be like I'm not appreciative of it, but I just need to think about other things for a while. But I appreciate you guys reaching out and just all the support. It's been really helpful. And I definitely feel a little guilty now, I'm not going to lie, knowing people that had someone immediate in their family passing out that I didn't maybe reach out in ways. Now I know how to do that, and I didn't know before. So don't ever think that you're bothering somebody by doing that, because it's helping, no matter what level. Even if they don't respond, it helps. So thank you for that, guys. Quick announcement. We are doing a special all-blacked-out version of the Geyerbuck tee. That should be up. This podcast is recorded and launched on April 22nd. Tomorrow's Friday, the 23rd. We should have it up tomorrow. It's a pre-order. It's an all-blacked-out Geyerbuck tee in remembrance of Papa Dave. And what we're going to do is I'm going to get two replicas made of the Geyerbuck. And my dad's last buck, we're going to do like a memorial on the back of the mountain stuff. Old Barn's got a ton of ideas. But basically to do that, we want to get a replica of the Geyerbuck to take to shows. And then one's going to be a memorial at another place that we're going to get to real quick about our new announcement. But that's what that's going to help with, is help us get the replicas made, because they're expensive. And just I think my dad would just love to have the Geyerbuck rack be at trade shows and people can handle it and actually see what a damn near 200-inch 8-pointer looks like. Yep. And it'll feel cool to like have his legacy live on through giant set of antlers, which is what he would have wanted anyway, you know?
Oh, yep, sure. Yep.
So,
and that's going to be a pre-order. So we're going to, once you guys order them, we'll take a couple weeks and I'll get them shipped out. So,
yeah. And then Eric, if they order, say they order some other shirts with the pre-order, how does that work?
I usually email them and say, hey, do you want me to send it out
separately or whatever,
when your shirt comes in, or do you want me to ship it out now? It doesn't matter to me. So,
okay.
If you guys want it shipped out before the shirts come in, just put that in the notes. There should be a little note section.
Probably do it 1 week or 2 weeks in the pre-order, probably more like a week.
A week or two.
Yeah, so. But it's pretty cool. It's just all blacked out version, basically with the Geyerbuck, but it's like black and gray screen print, I think is what we're going to do. We haven't actually made one yet, but they're ready to go. So thank you in advance if you support us there. That means a lot. Should we just get into the next announcement?
Let's do it.
So this is something that we have been wanting to talk about for a long time. There's a moth in here. For a long time. And
making for what, 3 months now?
Delayed because of the situation the country's in and all that. But
right.
So our studio that we moved to, where I live now in New Windsor, Illinois, has been great. My wife is pregnant. We have a baby on the way in July. I don't know if I've talked about that yet on the podcast. There's another announcement. Just all these.
Oh, man.
We're hitting,
hitting you
with some big ones today.
There's just all this shit going on in the background, you know? Like
it's all the announcements.
We're busy dudes. So that being said, we were looking to move the studio and see what options were, what we could do, what we thought we could make work. And we found a building in New Windsor, Illinois, in town, if you will, that just happened to fit exactly what we needed.
And it was for sale.
And it was for sale.
It was like literally perfect.
And right next to the bar.
And right next to the bar.
So we bought that motherfucker, and we're putting a studio in it. So it's legit. We're building a...
headquarters.
We're building an official HQ for Working Class Bow Hunter. Yep. It's going to be a business place. We're going to have a studio. We're going to have entertainment areas. There's going to be places for people to stay when they come in. If you want to hunt in Illinois and you're around, hey, come in, stay for a week.
Yep.
If, you know, they could swing in eventually once we're there all the time. But guests can come in and stay, and we can record and have the space to do it. More opportunities for just everything but video, and just the sky's the limit. We're building this from the ground up as far as, like, the studio room is concerned. And
it's been hard not to announce it, too, because we've been we've been there every weekend working on it and putting up walls for the new studio. And
yeah.
So it's been pretty wild.
Eric's been doing work.
Yeah, Gino, everyone has been a big help. Mm-hmm. I mean, just with everything going on, it's just been insane. There's so much going on, but a lot of work ahead of us, but we're hoping to get it done here well before the shoot. I'm hoping we're recording in it.
Oh, yeah, we should be.
But it's going to be great. So that'll allow us to roll out a lot more work and a lot more content and done, in our eyes, a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows what can happen from there. You know, sky's the limit. We have our compound, the HQ. So that, I think, is all the announcements. The shoot is June 12th. Nothing has changed there. WorkingClassBowhunter.com. The shoot page is on there in the tabs. I think that's it for announcements.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
Cool. Because I feel like we haven't been in studio for a long time, I'm going to run through the business of our sponsors and go through them briefly so we can kind of get into the meat and taters of this content here, because I need to just kick back and let my brain podcast, because that's what I feel like I'm built
for. It's been a while.
It feels like it's been a long time. We've done a lot of podcasts ahead of time with the shows, but
hey, shout out to Dan Johnson last week for filling in and doing that for us. So
definitely Dan Johnson, Nine Finger Chronicle, Sportsman's Nation, reached out and was like, "Hey, let me do a podcast for you."
You imagine if we had wings?
Do you know how many people have messaged me that?
I listened to part of it, but
it was good.
I'll have to listen to it.
All I know is I hope I never get poison ivy like what he got. That just sounded miserable.
Good God,
frick.
That was the last podcast, 443.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. We have a code for them. Single pin sides, drop away rest, now stabilizers, code WCB15. Also, Scent Crusher. By the way, we got some new Scent Crusher. They got new hoodies and hats and stuff. I think that's probably all available on their store. It's nice stuff. In our opinion, leader in ozone technology for eliminating scent. We are going to have the room clean in the bathroom at the studio because Lord knows we'll need it.
Turkeys may not be able to smell you, but it gets hot out there. Your buddy will smell you.
Smell like farts and BO, yeah.
Just ass.
Well, I mean, some guys, depends on where they hunt and what deer they got. They might want to go in scent-free anyway. True. Depends on what level you're taking it to. I'm not here to judge. You do you, you know? I don't think about it that much, honestly, in turkey season, but...
No, I don't either, but...
Some guys might. Sorry, something to think about, whatever. Also, BigTine.com. Wow, what the fuck was that? Code WCB2021 works on everything on Big Time's website except the soil test kits. So get your seed, get your spring plot seed, supplemental feed, whatever you do.
About that time of year to be thinking about spring plots if you're going to do any clover. So and the screen, it's about time to be thinking
about
that.
The borderline.
Yep.
I'm planning on trying to put some of that in, some clover in the spring, but I think I'm going to do most of my plots for the fall.
Yep.
I like the fall plots a lot.
That's typically when I do mine, but this year is going to be busy with the moose trip, so I'm going to be hustling here in the next couple weeks and getting some clover in.
Yeah, we'll have to do some videos and stuff on it, some short videos, just working class style. No 20-minute long food plot videos, 3-minute. Here you go.
Yep.
We're idiots. Try this.
If we can do it, you can.
Yeah. Also, Rogue Ridge, the grind, turkey calls and decoys. If you didn't see the pictures of me jumping a 65-pound Rogue Ridge or the photos, that was fun.
On a bag of Big Time.
Off a bag of Big Time. Those bikes are sturdy. Like at first, you're kind of like, let's feel these out a little bit. But now I'm not kidding, and
you're
comfortable
with it now.
I don't know if Rogue Ridge wants to hear this or if they condone it. But I beat the fuck out of that bike.
I really thought you were gonna eat shit. You impressed, man. You're hitting that jump pretty fast.
Hey, I'm an old shredder, boy.
Yeah, dude. I was like, damn.
I'm starting to get
a heavy bike.
Power wheelies figured out on it.
Right.
Using the electric motor.
I'm just getting used to mine.
Yeah.
I ain't to that level yet.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm going to wash out and slam hard in some gravel here before too long. But I'm having a good time doing it, man. I really have. I've beat the fuck out of that bike. It's but now I you need to do that a little bit. I know what the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. I got to figure. I'm going to get some bow mount and stuff for it. But then the other side of that partnership was with the grind. We'll get into this, but I had the decoys out. Those things are great. Been using the diaphragm calls from the grind, so we don't have a code for them yet. We could probably work on that. Speaking of turkeys, though, and hopefully you're successful more than we have been,
mm-hmm.
Old Barn Taxidermy. So they have a couple things going on at Old Barn. First of all, tell them that Working Class Bowhunter sent you. But if you kill a turkey and you're like, I'm not going to get this mounted, but you're near an Old Barn facility, he needs turkey parts. And what we mean by that is, if somebody, like say a kid shoots his first big tom and he turns it into a jelly head because it was at 10 yards and you can't use the head, you can take the heads in and stuff like that to Old Barn, and they need those parts to maybe that the head on that wasn't usable because they freeze dry them. I think they use the actual head. He can use a different head and paint it up and basically salvage a turkey that shot it pretty bad. But he basically for a head. Like t-shirts, if you drop off a full bird, you get $30, or a hoodie. And then they have a spring turkey mount special, $9.95 full mount limb or standard base, which is pretty damn good for a full mount burn.
Yeah.
So, and killer work, too.
Yeah, really they do some badass birds.
I'm not going to mount another turkey until I kill a Merriam. But then I think I'll do one of them hanging dead ones. Those are cool.
Those are sweet.
I think Johnny did his whole slam.
Yeah, that's what he was going to do. That'd be legit.
I might mount one someday.
No, you won't.
you're right.
You're shoot a turkey, throw it in the river.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Just leave it where it lies.
Nice. Podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery. We're getting our new rig set up. Man, we got turkey hunts coming up. We got bear hunts coming up. There's moose hunts coming up. There's mule deer hunts coming up. There's whitetail. I mean, we got to
be busy.
A lot to get.
We're stacked.
Oh, shit. That's good, though. Also, Gator Outdoors, GatorOutdoors.com, code WCB25. Victory Archery. I'm still shooting group TKOs for now. Thermoset, Loopold Optics, Slick Trick Broadheads, and Doug, you get a veteran shout-out, don't you?
I do.
So we're kind of out of the groove, I feel like. We'll
get back into it.
We hit this bad boy up?
Yeah, hit it.
Let's do it.
All right, this is brought to you by Operation HHA USA. You go to HHAUSA.org, and their mission is to show appreciation and create a sense of community for veterans and active military through archery and the outdoors.
That's beautiful, Doug.
Thank you. I've been practicing at home.
Have you?
No.
I was going to say, you can really tell.
In the shower.
In the mirror. This shout-out was submitted by Zach Tips. The veteran is Travis Renfro. He's in the Marine Corps. It says, my buddy Travis was in the Marine Corps from 2003 to 2009 with a combat deployment to Iraq. He is still serving our community here in Texas as a deputy sheriff. He's getting to hunting. I've helped him shoot a buck the last 2 years with a rifle, and I recently gave him his first bow. Here's to many more years and a damn good hunting buddy.
Awesome.
Thanks for submitting that, Zach, and thanks for your service, Travis.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for your service,
I guess,
Travis.
Still, thank you for your service as a sheriff. So.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Good
luck,
appreciate
in Texas.
You, hopefully you dive
shooting
into that bow hunt.
Yeah,
be cool.
Shooting shit with your bow.
Awesome. Good luck to you, buddy. Thanks for submitting that. WorkingClassBowhunter.com, contact tab. Those all go to Doug when you fill out a veteran shout-out form.
Doug
forwards that on to HHA USA.
Yep.
And then
good old Chris.
They do a shirt and a hat or just some sort of package.
Yeah, I think they're doing shirt and hats now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Awesome. I think we're ready to dive into the podcast here.
Getting the meat and taters here or what?
Yeah. Let me cue the intro. Okay, we're back. This is official. We're recording a podcast. Man, all right.
We're doing it.
I'm not going to lie. I feel a little bad, Doug.
I don't.
For what?
Because you shot a buck and closed out your season in style with some strength, and all of us are over here picking our fingernails. And then months go by, and turkey season's here.
Yeah, now it's April.
And now it's April.
You never got to tell a story.
And there's, like, listeners, shout out to you guys, are like, hey, are we ever going to hear the story on the buck that Doug shot? And I'm like, we'll get to it.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see how he acts.
Next year season, maybe.
So I feel bad that we didn't talk about it.
Nah, it's fine.
Kind of do the story on it. But, what happened? We were, like, we had scheduled episodes or something and just got lost.
I don't know.
You were grinding, man.
Dude, I was over it.
You're also quiet about it, too.
Yeah, no. I wasn't going to shoot him, but the way it happened...
Oh, break this down.
It was just, like, meant to be.
Paint this picture.
Tell us the story, bro.
Bring us back.
So, bow season sucked ass.
Bring us back. What month? Where are we at?
We're in January now. Late muzzleloader hunting.
Okay, I can almost feel the cold.
Oh, dude. I was ready for it. Me and Eric were down in Burlington hunting and trying to get our does first before we get a buck. Eric gets a doe first time going out. I've already been there twice. So, I'm like, oh, it's fine. You know, I got like 2-3 weeks, I think. And then the fucking ice storm hits and it like covers the field in ice.
That ruined it.
And then the deer literally just stopped. Like, I was not seeing anything.
Really?
It's insane. And then I finally, after the first rain freeze, it's cold as shit. And I finally have a doe come in like 50 yards. I'm like, oh, this bitch is done. I put my muzzleloader on it and I like, I shoot and just clank. I'm like, fuck. So I pull it back, clank. I pull like 5 times. I'm just clanking it. The, what do you call it? The firing pin froze.
Oh, man.
Like where it hits the primer.
Yeah, where it hits the primer.
That's when you know it's cold.
It was just frozen. And I mean, I was beating the shit out of it. I probably got to resize my muzzleloader in now. But so then I was like, I'm just, you know, there's 4 days left. I was like, I'm just going back home to hunt. There's this old 8-pointer I've been after. He's blind.
No, but didn't you go, wait. Time out real quick. Didn't you go back out and you seen another doe and it did it again?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I did. I shot a button buck on accident.
On accident.
It's just spiraling out of control.
Dude,
we won't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Shout out to you for admitting that.
Yeah, I got some eating, so.
Dude, it's happened to the best of us.
It's happened to, if you've hunted long
the
enough.
The worst part was.
And,
like,
and if you're going to that dude that doesn't have a profile picture and you're shitting on people in groups and saying that you've never done it, just go eat shit.
Yeah. So
guarantee one, you're going to.
These two button bucks came out, and one was, I could see the button on the ones. Like, they came out like 15 yards from me. And I'm like, with my binoculars, like staring this thing down, and I can't see the buttons on the other one. And it was bigger. So I'm like, it's got to be a doe, right? I blast it. It goes like, you know, dies. I get out there, and it luckily it rained down a ridge for me. So that was beautiful.
Just so ravine.
I was so pissed. I get down there and like, I flip it over and there's just a pair of nuts looking at me. I was like, stupid bastard. So that, I forgot what time shooting light was over. I got out of there like at 9 p.m. dragging this thing out by myself.
Okay, question. Does that count as your doe then?
No, it doesn't.
So it's just like a...
Put a doe tag on it.
Put a doe tag on it and go again.
Count towards
I
would
have cut that thing in half and took it out on...
Dude, it's a bad day.
Okay, what a good day.
You got
some meat.
I know what you're saying. Secondhand fun there for sure.
You're trying to earn your way into your buck tag.
Yeah, yeah. So after that, I gave up. I was going to hunt at home now for that 8-pointer I've been after.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this 8-pointer and 2 bucks that have been coming behind my parents' house in the cornfield like 5 nights in a row. And I've been, you know, we've been looking at him, and it's like, you know, he's 140 8-pointer. He's got pretty good tines. And the last day, I was like, you know, I'm going to go for him. Like, screw it. So I sit down there behind the house, and I'm down over this hill. So behind the house, you can see the whole field, but there's a hill, so I'm behind it. And then, like, it's like five. I forgot when shooting light was. There's like a half hour left, and I'm like, oh, shit, nothing's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom literally texts me. She's like, he's out there. So I sneak over in the woods to the fence line, and I'm looking at him. He's probably like 300 yards out. I'm just watching. I'm like, shit, it's not going to happen. And then... Well, the little buck literally just runs like at me, like it runs like 60 yards to me. Mm-hmm. It's just standing there, and I'm like, what the hell? And this buck just takes off like right after him.
Oh, the bigger one.
Yeah. He's coming, and I was like, holy shit. Like,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I look at my phone, I have like 20 minutes left. I was like, shit. So, like, you know, I waited. He got in there like 80 yards. And I had to actually, we have a horse barn in the house, and he stopped right in between it. Like, so I had to take a shot there, or he's going to go, like, buy the house, and I didn't want to shoot the house. Like, not so you hit, this is not
you hit
like,
a horse.
Yeah, people are probably thinking like I'm like
in town,
right next to my house. No, I'm like 300 yards away from the house at least. So he gets in that space and stops, and I put it on him and I shoot, and I thought I smoked him. So he like runs down the hill and stops, and like he's just sitting there, standing there. I'm like waiting for him to go down. And he's sitting there licking himself. I'm like, shit, he's got to go down anytime. I was like, fuck it, I'm shooting him again.
So like, oh, might as well.
Yeah, my hands are frozen trying to, like, you know, you get the rod stuck and yeah. My hands are frozen, everything's cold.
So you use them pellets?
Yeah, three pellets. I get it all down there.
You have the quick load deals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get on him, I shoot him, I smoke him, and he finally goes down. I'm like, Jesus. Like,
did you hit him the first time?
Yeah, I shot him in the back leg.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know.
No
clue. Because the second time
we won't talk about that.
The second time I smoked him. So
probably from when his firing pin got stuck, he's banging on the tree.
I was using a different muzzler at that point.
Okay,
I was
good.
Using old Bone Collector Thompson Center, old trusty.
The Triumph.
Yeah, the Triumph.
Well, I got one.
So I finally smoke him. I'm like, holy shit! Like that literally just happened. Like, you know, I've been hunting.
That was the last day, right?
Last day.
That's taking it
left.
Down to the wire.
Yeah, I've only done that one other time, and it was pretty awesome. I was pretty happy
congrats,
with myself.
Man. That's pretty awesome. Well, you got one.
Dude, you earned him. You were hustling
all season. I hunted so goddamn much, and like, fuck that. I don't know if I would do that again. That's way too much.
Well, I'm glad we got to get the story on it.
Finally, yeah.
Because it's weird, because sometimes like you'll tell the story or bits and pieces, like all of us kind of will. But sometimes like, save it for the podcast so we can tell it and it's authentic. So a lot of times we don't hear the whole story until we record.
We just made him save it for 4 months.
Yeah. Hey, shut your mouth.
I tried to. Yeah, try
you guys ready to hear my story yet? No, not yet, Doug.
No,
I'm trying to remember all this shit.
Hey, quietly shut your mouth, Doug.
What about my? Nope.
Nope.
No.
Hey, that buck I shot this year. I don't want to hear about it.
It's not your time.
He's already forgot all the good parts.
Yeah, I probably did.
He remembered all the shitty parts that you.
The shit I fucked up on. Yeah.
See, if you were like a YouTuber, you would have just lied about all that stuff.
Yeah, I would have skipped over everything and planned that. I was going after that buck, you know.
No offense to any YouTubers out there. I just use that as an example.
Doug's like, yeah, I knew I was going to shoot him the last day, so I waited the last day to even go hunt.
20 minutes. He was like standing for me. Like, I mean, I let him get out a little farther, so it looks better.
Called my shot.
You can't do it easy.
It worked better under
pressure.
Did some
B-roll while he was feeding in front of me.
Yeah.
And I did it with my eyes closed.
Make sure I get my Big Time logo in there, sponsor.
Slow-mo of you putting your eye down to the scope, setting up GoPros and shit. Yeah,
dude, complete different times. Like sun's up and me like the B-roll,
snow on the ground in one and then not in the other.
He's sweating in the
trees
other.
Are blooming in the background.
Dude, what's the fucking Buck McNeely? He's got that on his dude. We've talked about this.
Oh yeah,
remember he's reading the book with the bear.
Oh yeah,
there's a bear. No shit. There's one where they're like him and his son are shooting off a round bale.
Oh yeah,
and it's like completely two different scenes.
God, I love
shot
it.
Him.
Yeah, there he is. He's down.
Great shot.
Isn't that the one where he shoots that fucking?
He shoots a brown bear and it like falls off a mountain into like a river,
like 400 feet down.
Well, what's funny about it is like the edit was bad because he shoots it and it just rolls down this rock face, and it's just like you see like the last thing you see is it just falls off like a 100-foot cliff, and then after all of that, somebody in the video goes. He's down. Yeah, he's way the fuck down there is where he's down.
He probably didn't even hit him, just scared the bear and he rolled over.
Yeah.
He just tripped.
He just committed suicide.
Slipped off a switchback.
Shot the rock from under him. Yeah.
He tripped over a stick.
Messed up his footing.
He's like, down.
Like, thank God for high-end production, man. God, that's funny as hell.
We should do that. We should make our videos like that.
Oh, that would be kind of funny. Did you see that video? You know what we're talking about?
I have not seen that.
Oh, we got to show you.
We'll pull it up after this. It's hilarious.
The best.
Well, if Turkey Palooza, if the turkey hunting's anything like what I've been going through lately, we'll have to do a turkey spoof and just have some fun with some video equipment while we're around.
I think that might happen.
That's why we're going to hunt out of a limo.
We can do that.
Let's talk about turkeys right now because I'm kind of in Eric's boat of fuck turkeys.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of leaning towards Eric also.
We have all officially boarded the fuck turkey bus.
Yes. Choo-choo. It's a train now.
Hashtag fuck turkeys.
So I went out. I mean, you had you hunted first and second season.
So I've got a first, a second, and a landowner's.
Yeah.
So
landowner's good for all seasons.
Good for all seasons, yep. So I've been hunting. I think today was the last day of second season, so it's been in 11 days. I think I've hunted 7 or 8 out of those 11 days.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So what's the activity? What are you seeing in the turkey woods?
Well, it started out pretty decent. I'm having a lot of birds come in, and they'll come in, 20 to 30 yards, which sounds close, but with traditional equipment, it's not. You know, mm-hmm. you need them to come all the way to the decoy. So I've been having birds hang up anywhere from 20 to 60 yards, and then they'll just leave. And now the last 3 or 4 days, it's been to a point they're kind of getting on to me, I think.
Yeah.
They see a decoy, they just break strut and go the other way.
Really?
It's weird.
Huh.
What about you, Doug? What's the report?
I've only been out twice. I'm going to go out a lot more now. The weather's getting better.
Yeah.
But the first day, didn't see a goddamn, I saw a hen. I called in a hen, stupid bitch.
Cold blooded.
Like, yeah, dude. Like, we were calling back to each other, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring in some action. And she just, like, fed next to my decoy.
You thought you were sweet talking her, didn't you?
No, we were fighting. Like, we were yelling at each other. We're calling her every book in the name. So
every book in the name?
Yeah.
Just roll with it. I like
it. The next day, I hunt a different field, and I'm with my mom. We're trying to double up. And turkeys are gobbling everywhere. And then, like, 7 o'clock rolls around, and my neighbor blasts one, and they, like, all stop gobbling. And I was like, shit. So I'm sitting there waiting, and then another turkey gobbles from our big field. He's, like, 400 yards away. And then he gets closer and closer. I see him coming. He comes down through, like, the ravine. Comes up behind me, like, 40 yards. I can't really shoot behind me at all. Comes in the field. Like, gets to the decoys, like, 40 yards out, and then just, like Austin said, like, just was strutting and then just walked away.
Just gave it up, huh?
Yeah, he probably strutted out in that field for an hour.
No kidding. I went out 3 or 4 days, and first morning, right where Tyler killed his bird last year, that's, like, my turkey spot. Yeah. Like, I've killed, in a 10-foot radius, I've killed, fuck, almost every spring bird I've killed in that property is right in that 10-foot radius first day or whatever, you know? We heard one gobble at 6 and one at 10.
Dude, that's the thing. They're not talking.
They're not talking. And for me, that's not motivating because
right.
I yeah. like turkey hunting, but if I'm not hearing them, I'm not trying to wait around.
That makes it tough.
Well, it is. It's, I mean, how do you set up on a bird that's not talking? You know, you can have a ground blind and pop your decoys out and sit and wait, but if you're, like, trying to put moves on them and go to them, it's almost impossible.
I like getting aggressive with turkeys, and I'm kind of an idiot, and I don't really care. It's not like – I don't give a shit if I spook a turkey. I'm like, cool, hunt's over for the day, or I'll go over here and
go home now.
Yeah, whatever. So
go eat breakfast.
That first day we're sitting, I'm like, what the fuck? We heard another bird gobble, so we busted on the ground blind, moved it, and then we heard that other one. So I left it there. I'm like, cool, I'll come back here in the morning. Come back in the morning by my lonesome, get out there, hear birds gobbling over where we were the first morning, but I'm like, yeah, go figure. We heard a hen yelping that morning, but no gobbles. So I get over there, hear like 2 or 3 birds gobbling where we were, close to where we were, and then half hour later, right where I'm at, a gobble right in front of me. I'm like, this is beautiful. He's going to come down into this open field, see the decoys, and it's going to be great. Yeah,
game over.
Gonna blast him.
Gobbles, gobbles, gobbles. He's hammering. The other turkey's gobbling the distance. This one's hammering back. I'm like, oh, shit, this is good. I didn't have to do nothing. Yeah, game I'm over. Sending Snapchats and shit, and daylight, nothing.
Nothing. Gone like a fart in the wind.
He saw the decoy and broke strut and went the other way.
I don't know. Well, a farmer did pull in the field behind me, and I couldn't see him, but he was in there making a bunch of noise. I wondered if the bird just didn't like it.
Yeah, but it's a lot of variables out of your control, man. I've had deer blow at me and shut birds up.
Yeah.
I've had coyotes run through. I've had other hunters shoot.
I did have a coyote run through the first morning. I think that
did too, actually.
This morning I set up too close and busted all the hens out, and then the gobblers went with them after they flew out. It's like everything that can go wrong has went wrong so far. Yeah.
Well, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say I had one bird work. Second day of season, I had a bird come all the way into the decoys, and I'm shooting at my longbow. And when I shot, my limb hit the tripod and screwed my shot up. Like, I hit the bird, but it wasn't good enough. I trailed him for, like, 80 yards and then nothing.
Oh, so really?
Got close, but...
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's been brutal, man.
Well, what I did, I sat there until it was just silent and that farmer's out there in the field and everybody shut up. So what I did, I broke the blind down. This was probably 8 o'clock, roughly. I break the blind down, everything, go back, and I'm like, man, I'm going to head up where I heard those birds on the other side of the property. So I dropped the blind, but I kept that. The grind has those decoy bags. Mm-hmm. So I put the laydown hen and the, oh, man, I'm drawing a blank on the other Jake decoy. It's not the strut. it's like the quarter strut.
Yeah, like the quarter strut jig. Yeah.
I like those.
I like that. I don't like using a strutter.
It's like too much.
I think so.
Yep. Let's get into that after this here, because in my head, that's what I think.
Yeah.
So I basically put the grind decoy bag with the grind turkey decoys in the back. By the way, very fair price for how good a quality those decoys are. They're the shit.
Oh, yeah. They're badass decoys. Their little bag that they that you put on your back is badass. And then their diaphragm calls are the shit. I love their diaphragm calls.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. I do, too. And I don't know a lot about them, but... Yeah, what do you think, Eric?
I think my turkey season is going great.
Okay, good. You got nothing to complain about?
Nope, nothing, because I haven't gone.
I don't give a shit. So I get up, and I yelp a little coming up the hill where I thought they were, gobble right back at me, and I'm like, oh, shit. I get walking up to this like opening. We used to plant food plots in there, and I see one of the hens like as I'm staking the decoys down, and I'm no blind, and I'm kind of unprepared. Like I, it's a good thing. Like, pro tip. You tattoo your hands, you don't have to wear gloves, which is nice.
I just gotta get the face next.
I got to get my throat and everything above my beard. So I legitimately believe it helped me. So I'm like, oh, shit, that hen for sure saw me. I get over, and I've kind of learned the trick how I shot my bird in Kansas, like no blinding of the bow for turkeys. You have to get like a corner. You have to create like a corner where if you have a bird, you get close enough, set your decoys out. Does that make sense? Like a corner? Like... We do an illustration. I'll try to explain it for people listening. See this pad of paper?
Okay. Yeah,
I'm at the corner here. I set the decoys out here, way out from the corner, but I'm chilling here. So when the birds call in, they get past you so you can draw once they're past you.
Kind of creating a blind spot.
Yeah. Creating a blind spot. What sucks about it, and there's probably a better way to do it, but that's just how I've been doing it. What sucks about it, you never know what's going on. And
you can't see them until they're there.
Yeah, and then they're right on you.
Yeah.
So I set up those decoys. I get over that hen's yelping, and the birds really aren't gobbling, but the hen's yelping her face off. And I always remember you, Doug, cut that bitch off, talk some shit to her.
Yeah, you got
to
shut them up.
So I start yelping every time that hen yelps, I'm just like getting hood with her.
Yeah.
And I'm yelping over her, and then she gets pissed,
I'm taking the weave off. I'm going.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's chunks of weave everywhere. So she comes right in between the grind decoys and like at 10 yards, and I'm no blind, like ass and dick out in the wind, and I'm sitting there like, oh shit. So I don't have a face mask on. Well, I kind of did, but I wanted to be able to shoot an anchor. So it's like a neck gaiter. So I just tucked my hat down, and she sat there and yelped in my face for, it felt like 20 minutes, but it's probably like,
I'm
five.
Here now, bitch. Say something.
What's up?
And I'm like, dude, a Tom's got to come follow her right in.
Right.
Like, here's this Jake. Come kick his ass. Nothing. She walked back. I snuck back out there to see if I could, like, make a Mohican sneak. And they were out of there. They saw me when I got up.
But, so the Toms were there. They just didn't come in?
Yeah. They stayed out at 40, 50 yards around the corner. And she came, dude. I could have shot her a bunch. She didn't see me either, which was amazing.
Story of the season, man. Birds, the hens, and the jakes will walk right through the decoys, and the damn toms are on it however far.
They're learning.
They're getting too progressive. They're not trying to, like, fight and, like, you know.
They're getting with the times.
They don't have to worry about asking pronouns and shit when they get up in there. And
they want consent before they come in.
Yeah.
They're in their safe space.
Yeah. Hey, can I approach you? Coming from behind you.
Who'd you vote for?
All these fucking Biden turkeys coming out of the fucking wood.
Put your mask on. Social distancing.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. Excuse me. Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
I'm going to put a mask on my turkey, see if that works.
Hey, might.
They'll feel comfortable then.
I was just looking for a beer that I never had the entire time.
Feels kind of weird. I've got a water. Doug's got a water.
I don't have anything.
Eric's on the dew.
Damn. That's worse than beer, probably.
Damn near.
But, yeah, that's pretty much like the story of our season. We're going into third season now at the time of recording this. I consider Doug and Chandler much more versed in turkeys than I'll ever be. And, of course, Eric, you know, turkey god. He doesn't even need to go.
Yeah.
What's the move now? Do you just keep trying it and hopefully they quit being stubborn? And
I don't freaking know. I've never had a season like this. I'm just going to keep going, and hopefully one stupid bird will work.
I like to think they're going to come in here. Like, it should be getting really heated up, like, right now.
Yeah.
With the weather coming back.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the 70s here.
I was going to ask you, does, like, that cold weather we had, does that fuck with them?
It usually doesn't. Most of my success is in the first two seasons, but for whatever reason,
second
this season
is usually the bomb.
Yeah,
killed that bird in Kansas, and it was like it felt like
they didn't seem to give a shit.
My best action so far this year has been the first 2 days of season, and it was 35 degrees.
Well, I went out the following morning after I had that encounter with the hen. I couldn't go out right away, but I dropped Isla off at daycare and grabbed my stuff. I was like, I'm going to go just like turn and burn and run through, see if I can't do the same thing. And they were in the same spot, but I didn't know it because it was raining and they weren't calling. But I asked Ross, I'm like, does the rain mess with turkeys, you know, at all? Like, he's like, no. He goes, Chandler killed that one. Was it last year in the rain?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler killed his last year in the rain.
Yeah, if it's not downpouring, I mean, they're going
to
be out.
Especially if it stops raining and they come out to the fields to dry off.
I can tell you right now, if it's raining, I'm definitely not going.
You never were.
I'm not going to go in the first place, but if it's raining, hell no.
Not a chance. But I don't know. They have to gobble for it to be fun. Because you can't sneak up on a turkey.
It's not fun to turkey hunt if they're not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Sit there in the blind all day.
I kind of feel like some days I'm turkey hunting, I'm like, yeah, I kind of know the ground rules here. Like, I got this, you know? And then other days I just feel so reckless. Like, when you go after them.
That's where I'm at right now.
You just got your dick in the dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just chasing them around, you feel like. But that's fun, though.
And by the way, Ross has had the exact same experiences. Like, he's been struggling, too. He's been out. He had two first and one second season tag, so he's done. Like, He had two buddies down.
Oh, he didn't have a fifth? He didn't draw fifth?
Nope. He for whatever reason, they sent him two first and a second. So that's not what he wanted, but it's what he got.
Huh.
No kidding.
He had two buddies come down and hunt with him, and they took the guns out, I think it was last weekend, and couldn't even get anything to work with the guns.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's been rough. And it's not for lack of birds. Like, we've been seeing birds. I mean, I told you that hopper farm where you decapped your bird, I saw literally four longbeards in one group and then three or four longbeards in another group on the north side of the farm with four jakes. Like, there's freaking birds everywhere.
Yeah.
They're grouped up and they won't talk to you.
You need to get out of those groups.
What's the range for, like, a gun if you're shooting a turkey? Like, how
depends on your choke.
I got a 3.5 inch. I shoot 3.5s with an extra full turkey choke, and I've shot them at 60.
No kidding.
60 is like where I'll shoot out to 60.
Yeah.
No shit.
Super mag, baby.
Wow.
Take my shoulder out.
Bam.
You got that 10 gauge sitting in the gun safe. You bring that bad boy.
Get the old Browning out.
You got to pop your shoulder back.
Put a jelly head on it. Let's go.
We'll whack some shit with that.
Turn some shit up with this. Hey, we kind of covered that quick. We have some listener questions or comments I could pull up. What do you say?
I am going to go to Indiana with Joe and bring out the guns.
Oh, yeah. When do you go for that?
Next weekend.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. So you're going to be going like right before Turkey Palooza then?
Yeah. I'm going to kill some birds this weekend, then go kill one in Indiana, and then go kill one in Illinois.
That'd be awesome.
We need to get you one in Illinois. I'm really hoping that the hunting picks up between here and there, because if not, we're going to be getting really drunk and doing a lot of mushroom hunting.
Yeah.
I'll be there for moral support, boys. And camera guy or
we're
gonna, guy. Or
we're just going to like all whip out the calls and just talk all dirty to them.
Hey, you better be filming, because if you got all three birds on film three weekends in a row, that'd be sweet.
I mean,
the trifecta.
Yeah. And three states. That'd be cocky.
Right?
Bang, bang.
It would be cocky.
Okay, let's break some down. So I'm just going to read through them. I'll start with the Instagram first. By the way, if you want to get a hold of us, Instagram's the fastest way.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram or email. Sometimes we don't get them all, but we try. Mr. Lift a Hunt, Jeremy Beck, big shout out to him.
Oh, boy.
When is Eric going to be required to man up and get that Bambi tattoo?
How long ago was that?
Just make me a fucking appointment. Kurt, make me an appointment, and we'll go get it done.
Okay. I'll call Zach.
How long ago was that bet, man?
Like 4 years ago.
Two seasons ago. I don't know. 4 years ago.
No, that is a stretch.
Remember when Steve beat you? Didn't Steve beat you out?
Yeah.
Damn.
What was it? Was the last person to kill a deer?
To kill a buck, I think.
Remember Steve was, remember he made that bet with me that about his turtle?
I don't even know if that thing's alive anyway.
Nobody knows where his turtle actually is.
Because it's in witness protection, because we're going to eat it.
He made the bet that he would kill a bigger buck than me
that
year.
Got to him before
Dude,
you did.
He killed that turtle like 2 years ago. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
He probably just let it go.
He just didn't change its water.
No, he probably actually ate it himself because he was hungry.
Tough out here. Zach Childers. If I buy $3,000 worth of Sitka, am I required to start an OnlyFans? Well, I mean, what else are you going to do? You got to fucking
get them feet pics out there,
pay
bro.
For it somehow.
Feet pics, dog.
that dig out. That blue chew.
Shout out to Jordan Ginsmer, Pink House Neon, Pull Back and Let Go, Angler's Haven Resort. He said, great picture of you guys on Instagram. Thanks, dude. And, man, he handmade a working class bow hunter neon sign for the new studio.
And it's fucking dope.
Oh, dude, yeah. It's insane.
I don't know how it could look any better.
It can't. Dude, it can't. He's hanging it, though.
I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, I'm not going to be responsible for dropping that motherfucker. Yeah. He's hanging it.
You see the whole process where he dipped it?
Oh, yeah.
Dipping it to cover up, like, the glass welds in the back
of
it?
In the bends. Yeah.
He broke the mic dipping it.
Did he really?
He had to redo one part. No. I think part of the mic. He's sending me Snapchats. He's like, well, motherfucker, this is fighting me. But he's such a good dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane that he... Oh, that's
I want to do a full-blast podcast on his trade of... Mm-hmm. Pink House. We did one while back
do it
at your
like
place.
There at his badass place.
Well, I want to do it when he comes out of the new studio to hang the sign and deliver it because that'll be perfect.
Oh. Jordan's doing work today. He sent me a snap. He's got I don't know how many 20 or 30 docks all Jesus, set yes. and then his lot of Angler's Haven getting ready to stick them.
He's
got to
be so busy.
It's getting ready to fire up for him. I think
I want to go up to his resort at Angler's Haven and drink Line and Kugels for a week straight.
We're going up there this summer. Just me and the wife.
Are you?
Yep.
Just sweet, delicious lighting.
Yeah, I want to do that and like go catch some walleye with him.
That'd be fun. I'm in for that. Sean Polk. Moving on. Sorry, it's a hard transition. Now, that's a Motley Crue right there, not to mention some killers. Thanks, buddy. When are you guys going to give Waterfowlin a chance?
Where you been, bud?
I used to waterfowl all the time. And ducks,
you heard my guide service?
He's probably talking to me because I've never done it. I'm willing to go. I'm just not going to go during deer season. So
that's like the pig problem.
I think that's fair, though.
We're
right?
All deer hunting.
We'll buck out early like we always do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we'll go yourself. Do some waterfowl hunting.
Okay.
Yeah, you and Kurt will go.
This is just Illinois boys talking here.
Yeah, hey, you guys can just fuck
I'll go
off.
And
hey,
just wait till both of you. I'll go and just wait till the last day of muzzleloader again. And shoot a buck.
Shoot a button buck and then shoot your buck right after. You're like, yeah. AJ Wizza, man, I am terrible at reading Instagram names. Opinions on hunting over fruit trees and what fruit trees are your favorite?
To be honest with you, never done it.
By opinion, I mean strategy. I have hunted around apple trees, and I've hunted around an apple orchard, and I've hunted around fruit trees. If you want my honest opinion, now some guy might completely disagree. I'm just telling you from my experience, I would never plant an apple tree in hopes to hunt over an apple tree. I've seen no significant
change
benefit to it.
I'll disagree with that.
Okay, that's fair.
We've got respectfully shut your mouth.
Eat shit. Okay.
No, we've got one apple tree and it sits at the pasture. You remember the video of my first double drop time deer when he turned in the trail camera video and he looks right at the camera, that sweet ass night video. Uh-huh. So that trail camera was on my apple tree and they were actually scraping under it.
Oh, really?
But when that thing starts dropping, dude, it's like a matter of 2 weeks, all the fruit falls off of it and the deer just hammering it, just lighting it up. And for some seasons, the apples will stay on later.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Cox was there sitting with me one time and this thing started dropping in like December. It was muzzleloader season and he sat with me and watched me kill a buck with a muzzleloader off of it.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Let me throw this idea because I've thought about this before because I've heard a lot of exactly what you're saying. Do you think because say if there's you hunted next to an apple orchard, all the deer are kind of accustomed to them and it's like just a thing and it's not like this like sweet attractant that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, when you got five, so much of it. You got 500 of them, it's not as sought after, I guess, but when you got one or two.
Well, here's also the difference I think too is I think with an apple orchard that sells, it's a crop. They pick almost all the apples too.
Right.
So maybe that's the big difference.
Yep. Yeah, this is just a wild apple tree and it's, man, it's killer.
Yeah, well,
it could be like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a restaurant that you have at home, but you go out of town and you don't have it there. You go there all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of a good analogy.
You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like, silly. Don Higgins, what's he say? What the fuck's the fruit? Chandler, help me out here.
Peaches?
No. Persimmons?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's two different kinds. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then there are two different types.
I don't know much about persimmons. I know deer love them, but I don't
even know what that is.
It's like a
small little.
Never heard of her.
Heard of her.
I can tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah, deer love persimmons, but I don't have any experience with them. I don't have any persimmons.
This guy's name is, let me see,
go Andy
Crone. He writes, if you find beds when scouting, do you automatically call that a bedding area, or are you looking for something more than just two beds? You know what? What I look at that, if I find a bed spot, and maybe I think about this wrong, and maybe you guys are going to say something that changed my mind. I don't think, like, this is a bedding area.
Right.
Like, I think deer bed wherever it works in that given time, and if they want to bed over there for the day and then not bed there again for 2 months, I think that's just how it works. Yeah, there's probably percentage-wise where, oh, yeah, that's usually a bedding area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But one of the bucks I shot this year, the week before when I basically, like, whiffed on him, he bedded in the middle of standing corn for an hour.
Yeah, deer just randomly bed in spots sometimes. So, yeah, if you find a bed, it's not necessarily a bedding area. But
yeah, unless it was, like, significant on, like, a point.
Yeah.
And it was like, he sits here often because he can see this, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing, like, YouTube tutorials on why I'm going to sit over here.
The wind works for him in that spot at all times.
You got a bunch of people walking around with you.
Right. I'm doing clinics.
I mean, if there's public land, if there's not any old balloons there, it's not a bedding spot.
Right.
Let's face it.
I mean, it's just how it is. It's just the truth. That's a good question, though. I like that. Something to think about. Do you agree? Kind of like what I said? You think all you guys?
I do. Oh, yeah. I see deer randomly bed all the time in weird spots.
But yeah, especially like when you're shed hunting, like during the winter, they just bed in weird spots.
Right out in the middle of the field.
What the hell is he thinking?
Well, I say it's always worth noting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because it's information.
I'll mark it.
I'm not going to get hung up on it.
Right.
You know, one random bed is not going to drastically change. And unless I see a pattern, like a 2-3 day pattern, then I'm going to be making a move. But
right.
Curtis Bees, you spell your name right too. It's good. A lot of folks are shooting bows with high poundage of pole, Rogan, Dudley, and Haynes, to name a few. I shoot a Hoyt with 53 pounds of pole and a 500 spine arrow and have consistent pass-through shots on whitetails. Thoughts on this wide range of weights and speeds? Awesome show as always. Thank you, sir. Doug, why don't you start this one off?
I'm not going to pull no 90 pounds back. I figured that out. Jeremy's bow.
Yeah,
but
his draw is,
I'm
like
fine with just 60, 65. I don't see a problem, like an issue.
Yeah,
I've never had an issue with it. So,
agreed.
Especially with the new
bow. Think that's one of them big dick swinging competitions. You know, like, oh, I pull back 70 pounds. Do you need to? No.
No, you don't have to.
No, not at all. I'm with Doug. You know, 60, 65 pounds is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's good all weather.
55 pounds is perfect too.
Yeah.
Know? What do you think, Chandler?
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes off what you're shooting for arrows. I mean, if you're not looking for an extremely heavy arrow for whatever reason, then, yeah, a 50-pound bow is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this year, I'm shooting 70 pounds because I'm going on this moose trip. You know, yeah. I've got a heavy arrow set
different
up,
prescription.
So, yeah, you need a little more draw weight for that. But
yeah, for whitetails generally,
yeah,
I guess.
You got that big dick energy. Yeah,
well,
show people up.
The Lord's peace.
Don't want to flex on people, but...
You cool guy?
Let's just say I'm blessed.
So wrong, man.
No, I've killed a lot of whitetails with 50 pounds. I mean, it doesn't. Uncle Ted's a good advocate for the 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Yep, he's been shooting 50 pounds for years and just blowing through deer.
I like 65.
Yep.
I can draw 65 sitting down. I can draw it straight back, you know, and...
Yeah, if you have a problem pulling your bow back, you got too much pounds on that.
Right.
Yeah, I think people get caught up in that, worrying too much about it. You know, if I do a moose hunt or an elk hunt, you know, I mean, 65 is still fine for an elk.
Right.
But,
and 65 pounds is a lot different when you're shooting at a target versus shooting it at a live animal, too. You know?
And fatigued on like a mountain and stuff. But we're talking generally whitetails, 65, 50 to 65, you're in the money. PSU Wildlife. Ross, are you hiring? That's pretty funny. Well, Ross isn't here, so we don't know.
We just don't know.
Send an application.
Submit your application, see what happens.
Kyle Leonard comments, why doesn't Doug jump on the beard game?
And what'd I say?
I can't. It won't load the previous.
I'm built different.
Doug, it looks like you're starting a beard.
I can't grow a beard.
That's more like a half-assed goatee looking
thing.
Yeah,
I'm like Joe.
No, I like it. I like the scrub.
Comes in all white trash.
Doug has more peach fuzz on his chin now than I have seen him with in the last 6 years.
Right. That is what it is.
It's good when the sun hits it.
Becoming a man.
finally.
Dalton commented on there, the stash is a legend. Don't listen to those negative Nancys.
Thank you, Dalton. At least someone's cool.
No, you're not.
What's this guy's name here? I've got to go to this profile. Jake Ishmael. I don't know how to say your last name, buddy. I'm sorry. Can there be a bet that requires Doug to shave the stash if he loses?
Jesus.
Why are they ever coming at you hard?
Why is everybody hating on stash?
They either love it or they hate it.
He said, better yet, a bet between the five of you for the upcoming season. Loser clean shaves.
Nah.
Doug says, take it easy. It's all I got.
It's all I got.
That'd be funny, man, if Ross lost.
Ooh. I guarantee you. I bet he wouldn't do it.
No, he'd tell us to get eat shit.
Yeah.
You have no marbles.
And then there's
he'd probably be hungry. He'd be like, eat shit. I ain't doing
there's
that.
These companies that follow every post we make or anybody that hashtags working class bow hunter. Emperor Pod. Promoted on Emperor Pod. Promoted on Emperor Pod. Every time that we'd post something, yep, they follow us around. So if
promote
you're
these nuts.
If you're a real person, just fucking message us. Don't fucking comment on our shit.
That's not a real
comments
person.
On everything. It comments on everything. I don't know if it's any, like a,
it's just anything.
Hashtag
anything
podcast.
With the podcast. Yeah.
Hashtag podcast is what does it probably.
Yeah, let me. Okay, I'm going to Facebook real quick.
That's cool.
Let's see. I'm going to go from newest comments down.
We had a little car show going on here at the. On the table.
Yeah, I got the limo. The
so
limo.
I got a Hemi.
Yeah, it's got all the doors open in the hood.
Streeter Doctor. Doc. D-O-C-K-T-E-R.
Doctier?
Doctier.
Sure.
I've heard it mentioned several times that Austin Chandler is an outfitter. His outfit have a name, website? I dug for a minute online one day, but a cyber detective I am not.
Nope. No, no information
keep searching,
out there.
Keep searching, buddy.
Well, we're fuck
keeping
me, right?
We're keeping it low key.
Nope. Nope.
If you want to get a hold of me, you want to get a hold of me, look me up on Facebook or Instagram. Shoot me a message, and I'll get with you. I actually am still looking for a couple guys for this year. So
okay,
yeah. Wouldn't that be funny? That's all I said.
Nope. You know, we can make a page in Working Class Bowhunter if people want to reach out.
I know, but
I don't think you want that. You don't want that much business, do you?
No, I don't. Like, I'm almost full already, so I don't, you know, I don't want to be turning people down. It's working really well with what we're doing now. Like, word of mouth is working fine.
Okay.
He hasn't guided us or anything yet.
Holden Russell, does your draw length in any way resemble the size of your pecker? Okay, I should breeze these before I fucking read them.
Yes, it does.
Because I only draw 26 inches, and my wife recently told me I'm built like a tuna can, whatever that means.
Damn, that's rough.
Take your draw length divided by 24. There you go.
Oh, my God. 24. I love the people that comment on our stuff, man. I needed,
damn, dude.
I needed that laugh.
Built like a tuna can.
That's
that
hilarious.
What
whatever that means.
Built different.
That doesn't sound very built.
I love that the way I'm reading his vibe when he threw that comment in, that he's just like, clueless. clueless on purpose.
Yeah, whatever that's the awesome. Hell that means.
Oh, God, that's great. Right here, Russell Pickett. If you guys got on the public land challenge train for whitetails, what would you want it? What state would you want to do it in?
Iowa.
Yeah?
There's so much public land.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that.
Maybe Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas is pretty good, ooh, too.
Kansas would be fun. Good.
Kansas.
Yeah, I'd pick like a western-esque whitetail state.
Yep.
That'd be fun. Like whitetail driven
style.
Nebraska
wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. That's a good question. That's a fun question. Kevin Off. I'm just reading these on the fly. I'm not pre-reading them. So this doesn't seem raunchy or nothing. What are some tips for creating bedding areas by hinge cutting for people that haven't done it before? Also, what are some other tactics for creating bedding to help hold deer on a piece of property? You want to know my deal? I would be too scared to hinge cut trees on my own because I cringe when I see people like hinge cutting all their timber. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm like, ah, man, I'd rather have an expert come in here that really knows, like, for the long haul, like 5, 10, 15 years down the road, what yeah. that would be. I'll be honest, I'm not going to touch this comment.
Yeah.
I'm out of this.
Yep. Do your research if you're going to go in on your, especially on something that's going to be yours for the rest of your life. Don't go in there and fuck it up in 2 days, you know. Yeah. Like, seriously, take your time. Certain species you're going to want to get out, certain species you're not. As far as something that's a little more of a temporary bed that you could try, I'm going to be doing a bunch of it this year. I'm going to be doing a bunch of switchgrass. Mm. And there's a lot of good information out there on doing switchgrass. But, yeah, I like that idea a lot better than going in and doing a bunch of hinge cutting.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I've never done it because I don't know anything about it, really.
Yeah, I'd hire an expert for that.
Yeah, I'm with Kurt. Like, I'm too scared to go fuck everything
up. Or do research for like a year.
Just go burn the forest down.
Here, some of these are out of order, I think. Click. Or some of these are back. I'm just going down. Cole Lubberg. Lubber. I don't know how to say people's names. Serious question now, so we'll get to your other question. Serious question now. What would each of you consider the maximum range that you would shoot at a whitetail? Tristan Rock responded to that, and he says, depends on how big the deer is. And then Cole comments back, I wouldn't want you shooting anything outside of spitting distance. Okay, let's do this, because we could kind of like play situations all day on this. Imagine a deer is calm and doesn't know you're there and relaxed, and you have all the time to make the shot. What's your max distance you would take? Whoever wants to go first.
45.
Man, I feel bad already for my answer.
In timber, I'm going
to
say...
No, perfect situation. You could shoot as long as you wanted to. No, it's perfect.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
The deer doesn't know you're there.
60.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say if I got an early season doe that's not alert and a food plot, I'd shoot at her at 60.
I was going to say between 60 and 70.
Yeah.
And that's
with the longbow.
And when I say that, I mean, like, if I'm not feeling good at 60, I'm not going to shoot the deer at 60.
Yeah. No. We're going to be warmed up. We're going to be shooting all summer. And
yeah. The homework has been done.
When you had your birthday thing, we were throwing some long bombs. I was feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Doug and I, we were spanking everybody, right. Slinking them in there.
What's up?
I've killed a doe at 60. That's the furthest I've ever killed a deer. And I killed my antelope at 50. Those are the two.
It's getting out there.
50s for me. I'm a mule deer.
People might hate that, but that's just what it is. Would you, Cole asked again, would you rather be on For Love or For Likes or co-host Viral Outdoors for a season?
Oh, shit.
Doug, you might as well just be on For Love or For Likes. You might have a chance.
I'd go on that show.
Would you?
I don't have enough followers, though.
Yeah.
I don't got any tits either.
I don't have any tits either.
You got any boobs.
Hey, but then we know you'd actually be doing it for the love.
Dude, it's all for love, baby.
There ain't no likes.
Follow me
anyway.
And subscribe.
Get out there, Doug. Rep that.
Also, also use my code for AccuBow, too, while you're at it.
Yeah.
And my crossbows.
That's awesome. Where's Clint Casper hiding? He's getting ready to make his appearance again. We've been busy. Garrett Goodwin, what situation would you use decoys or not use decoys for a turkey hunt setup? And Chris Adams said, I'd be interested in hearing about this too.
Leave them in the shed.
Don't go.
What was the question?
What situation would you use decoys or not use decoys for a turkey hunting setup?
I've always used decoys.
If you're bow hunting, man, it's like you almost have to have them.
Unless you have a unique situation, like my Kansas bird was no decoys, technically. Right. There's decoys out there, but they're out of 100 yards.
Stalking up on a bird's cocky. Like, and there's you could get it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's just a lot easier when the bird is focused on the decoys for you to get drawn and everything with the bow. That being said, if you're using a gun, a lot of times when these birds aren't working, they're being stubborn. I'll go run and gun them and not use a decoy and make the bird come and look for me, and that works pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good.
How about you, Eric?
I always use decoys, piece. But I don't know shit, so take that how you will. I always feel bad. Jacek, and I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name. You're our European buddy. He asked two questions. Are you guys planning on taking part in any archery tournaments? And not outside, like your casual 3D shoot for me.
The shoot, that's our tournament.
Yeah. Yep. It's
and
not even really
one of the HHA ones.
Yeah, we got to plan out one of them. And then he also asked, are you planning on coming to hunt in Europe? I would recommend Hungary, Bulgaria, and Slovenia. And when it comes to costs, I would love to go to Europe and hunt.
Dude, that'd be dope.
I think it'd be sweet.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That would be really cool.
That'd be fun as shit.
That's a... I might look into that a little more, just like 5 years down the road type deal.
If we're jumping the puddle, we better be going for some red stag for
New Zealand.
Jumping the puddle.
New Zealand.
jumping the big creek.
Yeah.
Get your boots.
Yeah. Adam Fiddler, is the mustache getting shaved off CRP style so the predictions and the magic comes back? That's hilarious. Just I mean, CRP style.
You got to shave one part of it off and let it grow back in and then shave the middle off.
Hey, just burn it.
Yeah, just burn it. That's what I was thinking is burn it when I'm thinking take the CRP down.
Chandler lost his mind.
Just It'll just grow back fuller and beautiful.
Hey, you could have came out here and I had
There's too much dusty shit underneath. We got to burn it off.
I need to write down my predictions to see if they... I think I had a few that were
close.
We
need to get your own whiteboard in here that says Doug's predictions for the season. But it's got to be like in the moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of got out of control. Too many people ask me.
Hey, Doug, when am I going to shoot a deer this year?
Taking my percentage down.
Chandler's losing it still. Hey, you could have been here when I lit my field on fire around the house. You can try to put it out.
Put my mustache.
Put your face in there, Doug.
Fucking Ned Flanders over there.
All right, where are we at? Donovan Strzok, why is Casey's Pizza such a thing? Y'all ever had tornadoes from Speedway on the ride in?
Oh, yeah, tornadoes.
Dude, tornadoes.
Those are the bomb.
What? The shitty little burrito things.
Like the Tokido-looking
things. Those things suck ass.
Oh, they're
you
like,
must
the
have had some
best,
bad ones.
Dude.
You must have had some bad ones.
I've never,
don't get the breakfast ones. You got to get like the spicy.
I've tried like 10 of them. They're all right. I mean, when you're in a pinch. But
here, I'm gonna
Casey's Pizza is hands down better.
I'm going to stand up for Casey's for a second because there's a lot of people throwing shade on Casey's. Listen, not a sponsor. But they fucking should be, and I'll tell you why. It's because Casey's is always there for deer hunters. Yep. They're always there. If you're in the Midwest,
they got your back.
You're cold. You need hot, good food. It's a gas station pizza place that makes killer fucking pizza for a gas station.
Breakfast pizza, donuts.
And a lot of them are open 24/7.
And if you're going to be like, well, this fucking pizza place is no shit. It's a fucking pizza place. Casey's is a gas station. Like, take it for what it is. Quit trying to church it up more than what it is. They got Busch Light and pizza at the same spot. You can leave and be out hunting in 5 minutes.
What? Right. Shut up.
Yeah. So eat off. Shit, guys, and just understand what it is. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me out.
Those tornadoes are pretty good, though.
They are pretty good.
Mike Topper said, listen, I'm not going to hit on any gas station food.
No.
You know what
it's
you're getting.
Yeah,
hey, if I got to get a fucking roller dog, I will. I don't give a shit.
Dude, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't stoop that low.
Hey, maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
Mike Topper, who wants to shotgun a Busch Light with me and my girl and me after the shoot? Maybe some Line and Kugels. Probably get some Line and Kugels out there at the shoot.
Let's do that.
Busch Light's old news, man. Line and Kugels are the new Busch. Time to wake up, people.
That's what I'm thinking.
Sheeple.
Sheeple. Christofferson. With the fallout between... That is awesome. With the fallout between WCB and Lone Wolf Custom Gear, what stands are you guys running? I will respond with yes. If they make it, we are probably using it somewhere in our arsenal.
Yep. The ones that go up a tree.
I'm not too good to use Farm King special $30 hang-ons. I'm not.
Hey,
I got a bunch of them.
The whole crew makes fun of me. I still use a saddle.
Hey, we don't actually make fun of you, for the record.
Well,
I do.
I'm sure when I leave, you're like, that fucking idiot.
this fucking guy.
He's shit. Awesome. Honestly, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord my ass.
I have Lone Wolf Portable that I use. I have a Novix that I use. I have a Hawk setup that I use.
XOP.
An XOP. I still have a Lone Wolf Custom Gear set up.
X-Stand?
I have a dude. Yes, I still have them, actually.
You can buy it at Farm King. I've got one.
An X-Stand?
No. I'm just saying, like, all the shitty stands that Farm King sells. The Beagle for $40. That was my
jam. I actually might shoot a turkey out of a tree stand tomorrow morning.
That'd be cool.
Ooh, it's, like, at a bottom, and, like, the ridge is, like, 20 yards perfect.
The ridge stand?
No, it's down below the ridge.
Ooh. Please get that on film if you do that.
I know. I need a camera.
You know, River's Edge, you know the grip sticks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will challenge anybody that I have more River's Edge grip sticks than them.
Those things are the best.
I have a library of just... They're like $12 a piece.
They're square tube and they got two posts coming out.
Double step. In a pinch, if you got to make a move and you don't have a set available, you can run to Farm King, Farm and Fleet, anywhere, grab four of them and be out.
I bought a shitload of them when Gainer Mount went out of biz.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I like the, I don't know what brand they are, the black ones with the three rungs on it. And they're like...
Just the horseshoe looking ones?
Yeah, the horseshoe looking ones.
Yeah, Muddy makes them. Big Game makes a set.
Big Games. I like the horseshoe ones. I don't mind them.
I don't... My boot doesn't fit into them right. Yeah, I don't like them. And I don't like how you have to, like, tiptoe into the middle of the tree. Like, I like the side by the river.
I like the double steps. I do like that.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those are usually cheaper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Catch them on sale. Okay, right here. Wopsy Bottom Outdoors, what's up, boys? Will Team Iowa get their shit together in 2021?
Yep.
Hashtag do it for the Hawkeye State. Hashtag Doug. Hashtag Eric.
Hey, we're making a comeback this year,
this
boys.
Is our year, boys.
Yep.
Calling it.
Well, I want all of us to succeed for the record.
Yeah, exactly. But I want us to succeed a little better.
Okay. Well, like, I mean, set the goal.
You 200 might inches.
Burn that stash. He's so aggressive.
Well, I'll just like start it on each end.
Ice cold ice around your face so it didn't like nick
like
skin.
A wet rag and just his mustache is showing.
You guys just hold me down.
Get a fucking
the smell.
Fuck.
Get a torch out. Somehow it just burns. It burns his upper lip so bad he can't grow a mustache.
Yeah,
they're gonna make you
I
do a shot of wild
any
turkey
anymore.
Make you do a
burnt.
Shot of wild turkey and just get it all up in there. And then we're gonna light it.
I just have like a it's burn mark liquor. As a stash now.
Spray some Roundup in that bitch.
A perfectly awkwardly placed scar on your upper lip.
This one with the fire extinguisher just blows it out.
Ben Vanderberg. I hope I say your last name right. That's a cool one. It's the way your last name is spelled is really cool. What is everyone's most memorable hunt in their bow hunting career? Story time. Ooh, without like writing a novel, most memorable.
First buck for me.
Mine would have been creepy. Just how it all went down. I've told that whole story in the past. Or I technically wasn't my hunt, but it was doing the recovery on this buck right here in the studio. Not,
oh, hey there.
That's my dad's like first rackable buck with a bow that we recovered together. Like I just remember, I didn't even bow hunt. I started bow hunting the following year after that.
Yeah,
but I just remember that was like cool. I remember all of that.
I'll have to say my 8.5-year-old.
For sure, that's a good one.
Yep.
These are all podcasts in the past we've done pretty much, except for that 10-point. We'll tell some of those stories when I'm mentally stable.
Mm-hmm. I would say either my first bow buck or the 17-inch G2 buck, probably.
Yeah.
That was a cool day.
That's a good cool story. Day. That's a full podcast, too.
The buck was awesome.
What were you going to say?
Nothing.
Okay. Oh, okay. I was trying to... Andy Crone... How did WCB come to be, and where does everyone fall in? We've told the story a lot in the past, but to just fill everybody in.
We haven't told in a while, I don't think.
No.
But
the origins.
We can break it down. Would have been 2014. I was doing like an online YouTube hunting show, whatever you want to call it, video project from like 2013, 2014. And then I was into podcasts. There wasn't any podcasts around then. Like, I was like, oh, cool. I'll find a hunting one. Didn't find any I could relate to. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to start one. And I made some posts on it. Steve was on a comedy podcast, reached out. We didn't know each other. And basically was like, hey, if you're going to do it, I'd love to help you with it and co-host or whatever. Finally, bought some gear, made the page, got the name, all that stuff. And then we did a podcast. And then, like, episode 2 or 3, Eric, you jumped into the crew. And we had a couple other guys that started with us. Logan Heideman was one of them. And he was on for a handful of episodes, but just not as into hunting in the community like we are. And it kind of morphed. And then it was myself, Steve, and Eric.
At the beginning, yeah.
And then we had just like some guys bounce in and out, which was cool, like extra fill-in guys, mm-hmm. You know. And then, Doug, what episode did you come in?
Like one...
Oh, we were past 100?
We were past 100 already.
He sat in a few, and then...
Because I didn't know you at all.
No. I only knew Eric. I didn't know you or Steve.
I remember, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring my buddy by, you know, and you know how that can be.
Yeah, yeah.
Bringing a buddy over, and he's like, okay. Eric, Kurt and Steve were like, all right, bring him over. And then I think you came for a couple, and then Kurt was like, hey, you should come by more often.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you on the podcast, or were you just sitting?
I think the first two I just sat in. And then we did like a shed hunting one, and I actually
jumped on.
Okay.
Tried talking.
Because then,
I'm trying
to remember all that. Like, I feel like I have a bad memory sometimes when I think about all this stuff. So ever, then, go ahead.
You ever think someone saw like your post about starting a podcast and like, damn, like they scrolled by instead of like, I should have jumped in on that?
Nah, I don't think so.
You think so?
Like, I did it on Twitter. No one follows me on Twitter. Especially then.
It is kind of cool.
Steve
to
would.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, over the years, you know, you tell people, hey, I'm starting a podcast. Like, what the fuck's a podcast? And now everyone's like, hey, I seen your sticker go by the other day on a truck.
Well, now everyone has a podcast, too. It's like common knowledge of what a podcast is.
Right,
But then, so Doug, you kind of just kind of fell into your groove, and then once Steve started doing his comedy thing, it's when you moved in. You were always kind of had a full-time role, but now you have, like, you have your footing in, like, the main slot, I guess.
He's on, like, a term job at first, and now he's permanent, you know?
Yeah, you were temp.
I made it.
You were temp, yeah.
I was worried I didn't get cut.
But then...
Because we actually met Ross and Austin...
Through Clark Cummings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Yes and no.
Ross had done a few podcasts with you guys before
I came around.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think...
Because he was setting up our bows then when we met Ross.
Well, how I met Ross is Clark, doing podcasts with Clark Cummings back in the day, I was looking for a bow for my wife, Sam. Clark's like, hey, my buddy Ross has a spirit for sale that he's wanting to get rid of, an elite spirit. So that's how I met Ross. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first time I met him. I went there and bought the bow from him. He set it up for Sam, and he had his shop, and I bought a few other things. And we sat in there and talked for like 2 hours, and I think that's when I was like, hey, come on in. We'll do a podcast. So that's, I think that's where it all started for Ross and the show.
And then we probably met Austin through Ross, right?
Yeah.
Ross said, you got to come over and check out this podcast thing. I said, what's a podcast? He's like, these guys are going to talk about deer hunting. You're going to love it. So you guys all brought, I think you all got bows set up at Ross's place when he had the 164 outdoors.
Yeah.
We were shooting the new elites that had come out. That's what it was.
Yeah, and the options, when the option series came out. So three, 4 years ago.
So everybody came down, did a podcast on that, and I kind of jumped in on that and just listened more than talked. And
I forgot, we set up right there in this bow shop.
Yep. I think it was like episode 160, 170, somewhere in there.
Yeah, okay. So then you guys just became more frequent guests and then became like familiar hosts and fill-ins. Well, now we kind of have it to where it's like we're the main three, and then you and Ross kind of like share that that fill-in host position. But I consider it to be like more structured as the team than like your guys' seats have been in the past. Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah.
Like we kind of have...
It's like us five, you know?
But what's nice about it too is like it wasn't – everything that happened wasn't like I'm sitting up here with a checkbook going, all right, Steve, you're out. Doug, you're in. Logan, you were out. All right, Eric, you're in. You're sitting there. You're in your spot, and I'm here. And, like, it all kind of just, like, found its own way. It settled in the cracks in its own way and morphed into this, like –
kind of fell in the place.
Your spot at the table.
It, like, self-structured itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
But a lot of it is, too, because I remember leaving Ross's house after we bought that bow. And we were driving home, and this is just like hanging out with Clark a little more and like building like the community of what the podcast was becoming at the time. And I like vividly remember telling Sam the way home, I was like, I want to hang out with more people like this that are like good dudes, like-minded, and are like killers.
Yep.
Because that is like radioactive a little bit. Like it kind of affects you when you're around it. So I'm glad it's worked out the way it's worked out. So yeah, basically we're hustling and moving on up is the plan.
Moving on up.
Hell yeah.
Where are we at? Russell asked, does Doug fall asleep in the turkey blind as well? Also, what broadheads for turkeys and bow setups look like for them?
100% yes, I fall asleep in the turkey blind.
You do?
Is what it is.
I shoot Slick Trick Raptor Tricks or the D-caps.
If I'm shooting with the trad gear, I've got VPA 3 blades. If I've got the compound, if I'm shooting the elite, then I've got the D-caps on usually. If I'm body shooting, then any kind of expandable is going to do the job. I've shot the Raptor Trick, shot Rages. I mean, any of them is going to do the job. I like an expandable on a bird because it kind of slows down.
It breasts them out for you.
Yeah. Well, it cuts a hole in them, yeah, but it kind of slows the arrow down more as it's going. It catches more stuff to throw them down.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got the Slick Tricks for... I don't know. I think if like, they get out to like 30 or something, I'm going to put a Slick Trick in them.
Yeah.
Better in the body.
Better move, yeah. I mean, I've shot turkeys with a 2-inch expandable. You can put your fist in the damn hole. Yeah.
Damn near cuts
one. I had one you could drop a chew can like through them almost.
This is a good question, and I don't know if I know anything off the top of my head. Joseph Davis asked, what is one thing you never thought you would need in the stand but will never hunt without now? That makes sense the way I read that? What is one thing you never thought you would need in the stand but will never hunt without now?
I guess growing up, a rangefinder, like, I don't know, there's never, like, really a thing. Hmm. You just guess your yardage or Now it's like...
As silly as it sounds, mine would be binos.
That's exactly what I was going to
say. That too.
I hunted the first 5 or 6 years without them. And then once you start using them, it's like, how did I ever hunt without them?
True. If I go on the ranger outside, if I do anything outside and I don't have my bino harness on, I feel lost. Like I feel like I'm missing something. Because now it's like my lifeline. I have my rangefinder there. The binos are there. I can put like... I put my SD card reader in the front pouch. Like I have... Everything's... It's my core right there. So
mine are in my truck at all times. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're always with me.
Well, that's all the listener questions. It was fun, guys. Bullshitting and getting caught back up, kind of getting back in the groove of things.
Feels good to be back.
Yeah.
Feels real good. I needed a no-guest kind of just cut loose and talk podcast. And I'll apologize. I don't know how I'm going to be mentally over the next handful of episodes. I know nobody's blaming me or going to bitch about it, but if I'm not in the groove, it's just going to take me a little bit to get back into things, which I think is understandable. But it sucks. But I do appreciate everyone sending out their support and all that. It really means a lot. And look for the Geyerbuck all blacked out shirts. And I'm hoping to get a couple replicas made. And we can.
That'd be awesome.
I'm hoping get those replicas made and we can do like, I want to do like triple the amount of trade shows next year. We'll see what all works out, but just bring all that stuff with us and cut up with everybody. They're so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that buck's going to bring in a lot of interaction for us. I mean, that's the kind of deer people see. They're going to be like, is that high fence? I mean, this thing's insane. So it's going to get a lot of people talking with us. It's going to be fun.
It's a definition of framey.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. For sure.
It really is. So awesome, guys. You guys got anything to close out with?
Nope.
We're going to the studio.
And let's kill some turkeys, huh?
Let's do that.
We're going to the studio under construction. We're going to do some live videos there, I think.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate you guys. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.